Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons here at Fenway Park in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. News of the day here at Fenway. We talked to Alex Cora early in the 2 o'clock hour. Told us that Roman Anthony is indeed going on the IL with an oblique injury, moderate, that could cost him 4 to 6 weeks. How much will that cost the Red Sox? We'll continue to talk about that as the day goes on. But it is 3 o'clock. We got three hosts here at Fenway. That means, Stiz, it's time for the three-point stand.
319!
118!
118!
118!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Boston up! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A 3-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or Tommy DeVito is now the healthiest Italian in Boston sports, you gotta get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Three hosts here on WEEI Afternoons, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Our order, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson. Andy, you'll lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready, my friends?
Absolutely.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go right ahead.
There's a saint in a slump, and that's a problem for your Boston Red Sox. Saint Bregman. A guy who, when healthy this year, has definitely been one of the team's best hitters. He's been a revelation in the field, revelation at the plate, in the clubhouse. But right now, he is not a revelation in the batter's box. He is struggling. 4 for his last 37. And now the guy right in front of him, that dynamic duo that I think has been so key to so much success for the offense, Roman Anthony, goes on the IL. So Bregman will have different guys in front of him. He needs to get hot. He needs to figure it out. And I know Alex Cora just told us that he specifically spoke with Bregman about not trying to do too much, not trying to make up for Roman Anthony, just be himself and, you know, you're good enough for us. That is true, but it needs to be the you, Bregman, that we saw early in the year, right? It can't be the you we've seen for the last couple weeks here. So if you're going to look for a starting point for the offense to pick up the slack and make up for the loss of Roman Anthony, I would start with your third baseman, number two in your lineup, number two in your roster. Saint Bregman needs to get his ish together and start looking like a $40 million man. This is what we pay you for, to lead you and do what we need you to do, and that starts right now.
I think you need to back off. That's what I think.
Oh, whoa!
I think you need to back off, my boy Bregman.
Can take the boys out of Houston, but not the Houston out the boys.
Basically, the reason for the pitching staff pitching as good as they are, the guys hitting, the young guys. I mean, he's the coach.
I don't want him to coach. I want him to hit.
I hear you. No,
hold those elbows up, and then that quick swing actually hit the ball successfully.
Isn't it funny? He got off to the best start of his career.
Yeah, now it's – yeah.
And so now he's in a slump, and it's funny how it all just kind of evens out. Eventually, you're just going to come back to where you've always been.
And shouldn't he be – I always – and this is too much because it's baseball, so everybody can go in a slump. But I just – all I hear about him or see about him, he hits a home run, and immediately he's on the pad. He's looking at it. He's moving things around. He's – showing it to somebody, they're talking about it. I thought if anybody was slump proof, it was him, because he just fixated so much on the craft of hitting and was just so invested on not,
maybe he's doing too much.
I don't, maybe he's overthinking it. Maybe he is doing too much. I don't know. But he's got to be the guy right now. He's your best, other than Trevor Story, right? Like, he's your guy. Like, those are your two veterans. Yeah, I need you to lead. We've already lost Marcelo Meyer. We've lost Roman Anthony. You got Willier Abreu is hurt. Like, $40 million? When the going gets tough, I need Bregman to be the toughest hitter in the lineup.
That's fair. My guess is October baseball will bring out the best of them.
Well, if they don't get their ish together in September, they might not be there.
They're getting there.
Out of those two, because those two are the predominant bats that you're going to lean on, at least until Willier Abreu comes
like
back.
Like $59 million between them?
Right, and I trust...
Feels like a lot.
I trust Alex Bregman. And Trevor Story has been a revelation this year, but I trust Alex Bregman so much more in September into October to be able to perform just because we've seen it before.
Yeah.
But you got to start seeing it. And I think there's something to what you're saying. Simplify the game. Unfortunately, both of your young students that you've been teaching are now hurt. So nobody else to focus on except yourself down the stretch. So yeah, I'm very hopeful.
Those cutaways in the dugout that have been so cool to see with Meyer on one side and Anthony on the other aren't as cool now that they're both hurt and he's the lone guy. Like, the old guy is the healthy guy now.
Well, kind of. All three of them kind of have to hobble up to each other right now.
And that's what I was thinking about with Abreu. You know, Cora talking about he can't run yet. He can do everything else, but he can't run yet.
Yeah.
You already got one guy in Bregman who doesn't really run well. You can see him sometimes make that decision. Yep. Am I going to try to run this out, or am I just going
to
be
safe? They've told him to throttle down.
Absolutely.
If there's a question.
So how many guys are we going to throttle down in the lineup? Like, this is why Alex Cora... People say that $7 million is a lot of money. Yeah. Over the course of a baseball season,
a lot.
You
a lot
earn that money.
No,
there is a lot going on.
No doubt.
115 unique lineups this year.
And counting.
And counting, yeah, because a lot of the common ones had Roman Anthony within them. Okay, Alex Bregman, the gauntlet has been thrown by Andy Hartnick. Fitzy Stevens, you're up next. Are you ready?
All righty, Rudy Tooty Fruity.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, folks, you are on what I like to call football eve, because as of tomorrow, there will be football on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays and then the following Thursdays for the next 5 months. Some of it high school, a lot of it college, most of it professional. So congratulations, folks, you made it. Now, as far as it goes regionally, I know there is a lot of angst and agita building up over whether or not star cornerback and possible best defensive player, hell, best player on the Patriots, Christian Gonzalez, is going to play Sunday. And I hate to say it, but right now I would give it the percentage of the jersey number he wears. That would be zero. So I would not be looking for Christian Gonzalez to play Sunday. All signs point to him not being out there for the debut. But there is one player we continue not to speak much of. On the other side of the ball, people wonder if he's going to actually show up, if he's going to show out. And based on his debuts with the three teams he played for previously, 2015 for the Vikings, over 50 yards with six catches in his first game. 2020, eight catches, over 80 yards for the Buffalo Bills. And in his first game last year for the Texans, 6 for 33 and two touchdowns. Hey, Steph Diggs, come on down and make a hell of a debut for the Patriots, because they're going to need you Sunday.
Where's our concern level with the lack of a Christian Gonzalez? On Sunday.
Well, first of all, I agree with Fitzy. I think we're going down the road. He's not playing on Sunday.
Right.
I bet on it.
And that's a problem. He's the best player on your team, the best player on your defense.
Yep.
The guy that you hope is going to take away somebody, whoever you choose to say, I'm going to take him away. If you play it that way, he takes somebody out of the game. Also, he has a knack for making plays. So for a team that doesn't score a ton of points, I don't rule out him having a couple pick sixes over the course of the season if he's playing at a high level. That's a lot to remove from he's one of the few certainties on a team that feels like it doesn't have very many certainties right now, right?
Yeah.
And
to
lose that is problematic. Also, quick question for Fitzy while he was regurgitating Stephon Diggs' stats. Did you say 6 for 33?
Yeah.
As in like 5 yards a catch?
5.5 yards, but would you take two touchdowns?
I would, but I don't know if him catching 6 for 33 on this roster is going to get them two touchdowns.
Well,
I'm not sure I can make those
work.
But
still, I mean, that's okay. You don't get the same yardage. Obviously, you're not getting the same yak. You're not getting, 10, 12 yards per catch. The YPC is different, but I'll take two touchdowns anytime.
Oh, sure. I just don't know how they're getting in for the 5 yard
touchdowns. I don't know how they're getting there either way. Maybe it's Ted's guy, Travion. Maybe it's good old Hunter Henry. I don't know, but all I know.
It's not like
know,
it's Bill Belichick's
no,
defense
we're not
on the other
talking,
side.
We're not talking. No, the Raiders' defense is fine, although it might be great depending on how their pass rush handles the Patriots' rookie left side of the offensive line. I just think we have been anticipating Steph Diggs being a non-factor Sunday. Like, we keep wondering if he's going to be out there. Mike Vrabel has told us he's going to be out there. If the guy's healthy and the guy's out there, I'm expecting him to be in the 5 to 6 catch for 50, 60 yards, couple first downs,
What gives you that confidence, though?
Gut. I'm just going. I'm honestly
blind faith.
The fact that he looks good, the fact that he hasn't been overused in the preseason, and the fact that the guy knows how to get open.
Definitely hasn't been overused.
That's for damn sure. But who's the guy on the Raiders defense that you're like, well, this guy's going to be the eraser of Steph Diggs? Like when we had Gonzo, it was Gonzo's going to take somebody out. Now it's, hey, Carlton, can you keep up with Myers or Bowers? It's a different scenario altogether.
Yeah. I mean, Max Crosby is the guy that's going to potentially erase everything.
Correct.
Because if Drake May is lying on his back with the ball tucked like this, looking up at the sky in Foxborough, that took Steph Diggs out of the play.
Are you flipping Max Crosby from the right side to the left side to test Will Campbell?
Yes. I'm doing Ted Johnson, not Fred Johnson. That's his cousin. Different guy. The Ted Johnson feast approach.
Yep.
If I have a great player, I'm not going to put that great player like 12 yards away from Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, right? Like, I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity. I don't care. Max Crosby, I know you like the left side. You prefer the – you know what you should prefer? The opportunity to maybe go have, like, a historic game with, like, 5 sacks or something against some poor rookie left tackle.
And that's not to say Malcolm Kuntz can't have fun with Morgan Moses either. We haven't seen much with him this preseason.
Oh, I have no confidence in Morgan Moses.
In the the Raiders would do, just say Max Crosby, and we should – probably look this up. Just has he ever played snaps on the right side? Maybe he has. Maybe he hasn't.
I believe he has, but just predominantly as well.
And most guys have a preferred side. There's other things you can do though to put pressure on the two rookies on the right side. If you decide to keep Max Crosby on the left, I'm expecting a lot of overload blitzes where it feels like for that left side of the offensive line, we're anticipating two rookies starting at left tackle and left guard for the Patriots. That the Raiders will do a lot of what they call overload blitzing, where it just you overwhelm those two players with four guys, and then one of them backs out last second, and they're late getting to their block. So the Raiders are going to test that side of the line all day long, even if Max Crosby isn't the one on that side.
And probably screw with it, honestly. Probably big brother it. There'll probably be times where they line up in what looks like an overload blitz, and then they're actually coming off the backside or something.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, Will Campbell is just standing there like, oh, nobody came. What am I supposed to do?
That's what I would
do. But there's six guys over here coming at
it. If I were the Raiders, is a lot of complex blitzing.
And that goes in with Drake May, too. You're not sure he knows all his protections.
Right.
On point under Josh McDaniels either, right?
That's right. And can I make one point about Christian Gonzalez?
Always.
So why is him not being out there, impact the defense like it does? It's more than just the fact that he can maybe take away their best receiver. It's also limits what you can do from a defensive standpoint as far as blitzing. You can blitz more if you feel like you got a corner back there that isn't going to slip and fall and get beat deep and get burned because you're blitzing. And I think the Patriots want to blitz to get some pass rush. I think you get more one-on-one blocks for Milton Williams and Christian Barmore when you blitz. If you blitz, then you can't double-team guys. So that not being able to blitz maybe is going to be a concern, and you can't as much, at least you shouldn't, when you don't have your best cornerback out there.
You also don't have, and I don't know how much this will or won't not play in the game, but, I mean, you have Woodson at safety, who's a rookie, and you have, Jalen Hawkins, who's...
Sixth-year journeyman.
Journeyman. That's another factor to layer in there. So you're without your best corner, and you got some questions at safety in a new duo.
I think that's part of what has got me a little scared about the Patriots to start the season is... I thought safety was one of their best positions.
Me too.
I mean, literally 3 weeks ago, I thought, man, they got depth. And you know what? I really like how Del Pettis is coming along and Jalen Hawkins is coming along. These are guys that were fringe players that look like they're starting to get it. Oh, to compliment the two guys the veterans that you have in Duggar and Jabril Peppers. So the fact that it looks like a completely different unit is just throwing me off, man. It is. It's just weird to think that was one of the best units at least 2 weeks ago, and now it's one of their weaknesses.
I don't think there's a position group on the field other than the secondary that had a worse camp in terms of expectation, looking at the depth when you came in versus where both your cornerback room and your safety
room
is right now. The offensive line, you knew it was going to be a little bit of a work in progress.
Right.
But yeah, from where the comfort you had at the beginning of camp to now, I'm not sure.
And that's why I look at the Patriots defense and I go – to me, it was going to be like an above-average defense, maybe a top 12 defense. People think there's our top 5, top 10. You know what? Not with this secondary. I mean, maybe you can make an argument for a top 10 defense if all those guys that were released were still on the team and if Christian Gonzalez was healthy.
I could also make an argument that this is one of the worst possible matchups for a team with a questionable secondary and specifically young, inexperienced safety play going up against
Brock Bowers, yeah.
Best tight end in football or pass catcher. Their best receiver is an underneath slash middle of the field Jacoby Myers. And oh, by the way, they added what people think is the best rookie running back to enter the NFL in a while now, who's going to make his money underneath, run after catch, middle of the field. I'm sure it'll be fine. They call Woodson the eraser. He'll erase. It's a very big eraser. He erases everything.
It's Revis Island and the Woodson eraser. You know, the same thing that we talk about. Okay, we got one more three-point stance. It is 3:19. Ted, from 1 to 10, how passionate are you about your three-point stance today?
It's, you know, probably like a 5.
Okay, I think that's good enough to squeeze in here during our segment right here. I'll give you 60 seconds for your three-point stance. Go right ahead.
All right, here we go. I have never seen Bill Belichick more exposed or more vulnerable than he is right now after that 48-14 beatdown at the hands of TCU the other night. Listen to head coach of the Patriots, Mike Vrabel, on the Hillman Morning Show yesterday. He was asked about what he thought about that game that Bill Belichick coached in against TCU. This was what he had to say.
I don't know. Urban Meyer won 12 of the first 12 games in Ohio State, so it didn't take him long. That's my experience in college football.
All right. I mean, that's a shot. I mean, that's a shot. Wow, you know, what's
felt it?
What's Bill's, you know, excuse? Urban Meyer, he won the first 12 games they ever coached in. It feels like it's open season on Bill Belichick more than I've ever seen. I'm looking at some of the articles that are out there right now. The Athletic, this is one of the headlines for the articles. What Bill Belichick is left with now that the circus has left town, air is out of the balloons. Bill Belichick was not ready for that college life. That's in the Ringer. On CBS Sports, inside Bill Belichick's North Carolina debut, the rise, the fall, the party that became a funeral. And then last on Yahoo Sports, where does Bill Belichick's first game at UNC rank among the most embarrassing sports debuts? I've never seen the commentary this severe and this critical of Bill Belichick than it is right now. And if it's just, it's amazing to me that he would expose his, you get the sense that it's really arrogance and ego and hubris that is why he's there. And it's money too. I mean, he makes a lot of money. He likes to make a lot of money, but his ego is so big. I can't believe he miscalculated his impact on that school and that program, because it looks like he's in way over his head. And right now the gloves are off and people are being more critical than they've ever been.
Boy, that's a 5 out of 10. I don't want to see a 10 out of 10.
And there was... there was no doubt that was a little bit of a shot. Now, I do think part of it was fluffing up Ohio State and their championship and their coach, because Vrabel's a Buckeye guy. Mm-hmm. But he's not afraid to take shots at Bill. He did it when he was coaching against him. I think he respects Bill for what he did for him as a player and his accomplishments as a coach. But he does not, what do they call it, deify Bill. He doesn't treat him like he's a guy.
No, he never has.
He's going to tell you what
he got traded.
And right, and that's part of it. But he's going to tell you what he thinks. And Urban Meyer, a little different scenario. If I really wanted to break this down and defend Bill a little bit, I mean, Urban Meyer had already run 4 college programs by that time, had won a national title, had done everything in Florida. So it's a little different, but that's what North Carolina was buying.
Belichick has won 6 Super Bowls.
And has he told
you?
Because he actually tells you it's 8. He counts the 2 as a coordinator when Parcells was the head
coach. Excuse me, 8, yes.
It's 8. You have the boat's 8 rings plus 1 or whatever the hell it's called.
I believe he wears the rings when he goes to the NFL awards as well.
Yeah, he does.
That's
he turned over 70 players on the roster. How in the hell did anybody possibly think North Carolina was going to be anything other than a Division III school out there on national television?
I think a lot of people did. Don't tell that to the people in North Carolina.
A lot of people.
Don't tell that to LT and Air Jordan.
Because of the facade of Belichick. This is all smoke and mirrors. This is an old magician who has nothing more than the flat. We do. They don't.
Well, they do now.
Yeah.
A lot of people here did not see this coming.
They learned at 400 miles an hour straight into the planet Earth on Monday night.
He's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Like, he's now the bumbling man behind the curtain, pulling all the levers, but it's not really working anymore.
No, and it's just...
Oz is on to him.
It's a small man behind the giant robotic facade.
It's going to put stress on the relationship.
You think so?
Unless it's purely love. I mean, if she really is in it for the love.
What else would it be?
Well, then it doesn't matter if he wins or loses, right?
The way she was looking at Randy Moss in the booth on Monday night?
She did look at him with an adoring eye a little bit.
You're a Hall of Famer who's still... Wait a minute, you're still, you know what?
You haven't embarrassed.
You're still relevant.
Yeah, you haven't ruined your reputation, right?
Yeah, you beat cancer. My husband couldn't beat TCU.
Oh, wow. Cancer jokes?
He did. That's not a cancer joke. It's about Belichick.
617-779-7937. We're still reacting to Bill Belichick's debut. It didn't go very well, although, Ted, I will say one other time I saw him look a little bit more vulnerable. And that was when he stepped out of a home on a Ring camera with no shirt on. He looked pretty vulnerable in that moment. That was a private moment. We weren't.
You know what? The Ring video is not even close to being as bad as what happened Monday night. Not even close.
It was the Cracker Barrel rebrand of football coaching debuts.
Both pretty bad.
That was no. Not when all those people were down there. He's taking all those pictures before the game. And then that happens? No. That's way worse than the Ring video.
617-779-7937. Taking your calls on Bill Belichick, but also reactions to the Roman Anthony IL issue. He has an oblique. It could be 4 to 6 weeks, according to Alex Cora. All that's up next, but also 15 minutes from now, for the first time this year, we'll talk to Adam Schefter, our weekly Wednesday 3:45 interview with the ESPN information guy. That's all up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Red Sox won their third straight last night, taking 2 of 3 against the second of three against the Cleveland Guardians at Fenway Park. The final score was 11-7. Roman Anthony exited the game in the fourth inning with what was described at the time as an oblique injury. Red Sox manager Alex Cora confirmed to WEEI Afternoons that Anthony is headed to the injured list with an oblique strain. The estimated timetable for recovery and return is 4 to 6 weeks. Meanwhile, the Sox go for the sweep tonight, first pitch at 6:45. Brennan Bernardino will serve as the opener for tonight's game, and you can listen on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan is today at 5:45, and Will Fleming and Sean McDonough have the call of the game. Earlier today, Roman Anthony was named AL Rookie of the Month for August. He hit .304 with 6 home runs and 118 plate appearances during the month. Also, Aroldis Chapman has been named AL Reliever of the Month. In 11 innings, he registered an ERA of 0 and went 8-for-8 in save opportunities. The Patriots open up the 2025 season on Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Las Vegas Raiders. The game will be broadcast on CBS. Pats cornerback Christian Gonzalez was the lone player who did not practice today. His status for Sunday's game is still unknown. Also, Mike Reese of ESPN reports an anticipated practice squad transaction for the team and linebacker Darius Harris. Harris has been in the NFL since 2019 with the Chiefs, Raiders, and Cowboys, playing in 37 games with 6 starts. And finally, Daron Harmon, who won 3 Super Bowls in New England during his tenure from 2013 to 2019, announced his retirement from professional football earlier today. He recorded 17 interceptions in his 7 seasons with the Pats. Visit the 99 Restaurant every Monday through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal. The Crispy Fried Twin Catch with North Atlantic Cod and Crispy Shrimp, just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons Live at Fenway Park coming up right after this.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Fenway Park. Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy, Stevens. We were talking about Bill Belichick, and we spent a lot of time last month talking about the Tom Brady statue. Well, we have some fresh audio from our friends over at WBZ-TV as they had an exclusive interview with Robert Kraft, probably before Sunday's opener, kick off the season. And the topic of a Bill Belichick statue potentially being placed in the future at Gillette Stadium came up, and this is what Robert Kraft had to say.
The number one question that comes after Tom Brady is Bill Belichick. So will there be a Bill Belichick statue out here one day as well?
It's always, when that great 20-year era ended, it was always my intention to commission a statue for both Tommy and Bill when their respective careers were over, playing and coaching. And when Bill's coaching career ends, we look forward to sitting down with him and having a statue made to be right next to Tommy.
Well, let's hope for a lot of excitement and maybe more statues 20 years from now will be built of some of the players on the field, right? Thank you, Robert.
It's my pleasure, and can't wait for Sunday at 1.
Wow, look at that. Even Robert Kraft has forgiven Bill, and you guys just can't seem to get over it.
Well, I mean, so is the statue going up this week? Because he said when his career ends, and it felt like it ended on Monday night in Carolina.
You know what? I'm sure there's the purest intentions, too, from Robert with that.
He's actually hoping that Bill coaches for 10 more years.
How big is it going to be?
Yeah, I think you have to make it the same
size. You can't not make it the same size because it'll always be compared. Well, Brady got 12 feet.
Right. I don't know. I mean, technically, Brady's taller than Bill. Right? In real life.
So it should be commensurate. So if that's 12 feet, they should figure out if Brady is like, you know, X number percent taller than Bill, they should just make it, you know.
No, I told you guys, I think Robert and Bill should have statues the same size, sort of to the side and a little bit behind
Tom Brady.
You don't
think it's weird that the owner of the Patriots, who openly goes after Bill Belichick, and then vice versa, is a little weird. He's talking about giving him a statue outside of Foxborough. It just doesn't feel, it feels disingenuous. It doesn't feel right when we know how they really feel about each other.
But he knows he has to.
What's the angle here?
What am I missing?
No, I'm asking you if you have any ideas. You speak Robert Kraft.
He's the bigger man. He's being magnanimous. He looks good PR-wise. At Bill Belichick's lowest point. You just told me it's Bill Belichick's lowest point.
It's not because Bill deserves it. It's because he looks like
it makes
better
Robert man. Look good. Yeah. Absolutely. Like last week. Bill Belichick was taking pot shots at Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft. You don't have an owner and an owner's son you have to deal with. Then he goes out and sucks on the football field. He bottoms out. Yeah. And guess what? Robert goes, I've always been planning a statue because that's the kind of man I am. Mm-hmm. I'm the bigger man.
Doesn't that seem obvious?
He's almost like waving to the crowd.
It's high ground. He's playing to the fan base in advance of Sunday.
People are going
to
buy that?
A lot of people will buy it.
Really?
Oh, Fitzy's people, they eat that crap up. Mm-hmm. See this?
Wow.
This. Why do you guys think that there has to be ulterior motives? I mean,
there always is.
There always are.
Poor Fitz.
It's big business. No, it's big business.
It's one thing to acknowledge that the relationship has been rocky at times and it wasn't always perfect, but the amount of success, you don't have to like hate somebody for the rest of your life to not acknowledge all the success that you guys had in your 20-year partnership. I think Robert has always planned to do this.
There's acknowledgement and then there's basically putting in a whatever it's made out of for the rest of eternity. You're basically immortalizing someone for eternity. There's a reason behind it, Stiz.
And Stiz, a week ago, Robert was getting shots from Bill. Bill was taking shots at him in the Boston Globe. Didn't have to. Wasn't like specific questions about he was comparing college to the pros and said there's no owner and owner's son that you have to like.
He didn't even mention him in his friggin' book.
And Robert did a 10-part documentary about how bad Bill Belichick
that's what I'm
was.
So, like, I didn't deny that.
That's
why it doesn't make make any sense.
I think at the end of the day, two adults can still acknowledge all of the success. And, you know, I think there should, and in fact, a Kraft should get a statue at the end of the day when his time is up as well. And I think that's the plan.
Who's going to give him a statue?
His son.
Yeah.
Dad, look what I got you, a stat. Oh, Jonathan.
No, it'll be posthumous.
Oh, now we're talking about post-Kraft.
I mean, he's right.
So, you know what?
He's right.
You think about it. So
he's 80.
You think Bill wants to come back ever again to Foxborough? Like,
sure. The same way Tom did. Bleep you, pay me.
Compensated on a helicopter with a statue.
It is out as soon as it's over.
It is kind of, you think about it, so Kraft says, I'm going to give you a statue. That forces Bill to have to come here and do a dog and pony show, because you know he loves doing those, and have Robert tell him how great he is in front of everybody, and you know he's going to love hearing that.
And Jordan's like, it'll be so fun, Bill. Let's go. We can wear that dress again.
It's just weird to me. I don't know.
The whole thing's weird, but if we're going to be, sports are weird. Like, sports creates weird marriages, divorces. I mean, Mike Vrabel is an example.
This is one of the weirdest partnerships ever in all sports.
I liked it better when they won Super Bowl.
It's also the most successful ever and longest ever, so it created the environment for it to exist. The Last Dance, the Bulls were a mess. Like, a lot of these things end weirdly. Even Mike Vrabel, I'll go back to. He was traded because he was popping off about Patriot Place, and now He decides to come back because this is the only place I've ever wanted
to be. He wasn't even just traded. He was an add-on to the Castle deal. Like he was thrown.
No, I know he was traded, but he was traded because he talked about Patriot Place.
The end of the Lakers was a disaster as well, with Shaq telling Kobe, "Tell me how my blank tastes."
But they don't come back years after and then immortalize each other with statues.
That's
the difference.
Time heals all wounds, right? That's how that works in sports, Ted. Time heals all wounds. 617-779-7937 if you want to react to the Bill Belichick statue conversation. Up next, we talk to Adam Schefter. I'm sure he'll have an opinion on the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Robert Kraft statue situation. ESPN's Adam Schefter next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons back live at Fenway Park. Joining us on the phone lines now is ESPN's Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by New England Chevy Dealers. Together, let's drive. Mr. Schefter, are we ready for another NFL season? Adam?
Another season. Gotcha. You got me?
Yes, we do now.
Hello. Okay.
How are you doing?
I said, Andy, Nick, Ted, great to be with you, and I am ready for another season.
So the first question out of the gates, we've been having some statue talk around here in New England. Tom Brady got his statue in the plaza just outside of Gillette Stadium last month. Today, Mr. Kraft said that he's always had the plan that when Bill Belichick's coaching career is over, there will be another statue out there. Do you think all three of them should have statues? Are you a guy that thinks there should only be a Brady statue? There's been a lot of surprisingly hot statue debate around New England these days.
Well, to me, all three belong. First of all, that area would not be what it is today without Robert Kraft. I mean, he's the one that developed that entire area. And if you look at it, I mean, he built it from the ground up, did he not? I mean, that's his little play area. And he deserves all the credit for building up all that area around that stadium. And so to me, that he deserves one. And Belichick is, you know, one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. He's a part of the team. Why would he, like, why are we shortchanging statues?
So one of the big buzzy topics around here is the Patriots make way for the Mike Vrabel era to get underway Sunday, Adam, against the Raiders, has been the health of cornerback Christian Gonzalez. Mike Vrabel was even a little prickly today in his presser as far as his availability. Have you heard anything as to whether or not Gonzo, who's dealing with a hamstring injury, may or may not play Sunday?
I saw what Vrabel said. I had not specifically checked on him to find out. It didn't sound like he was tracking the play, but I don't know that. You know, that's just me reading between the lines on what he was saying. I have not checked on Christian Gonzalez's availability. So, again, he's a key part to have out there. They're going to be careful, I would think, with a hamstring. It's a long season. You don't want to rush things.
Adam, most national guys are kind of bullish on the Patriots. They think that they're going to have a big bounce back and that they're maybe have a good chance of making the playoffs. Just what are your feelings on this year's Patriots teams, and what is the expectations you have of them?
Bullish. I believe that they are where the Denver Broncos were last year to a certain extent. People were not expecting Denver to rise up. And in the end, they had a better season than people expected, won more games than people expected, went to the playoffs. I kind of feel the same way about this New England team. I'm not going to be surprised if they win more games than expected, and I'm not going to be surprised if they wind up going to the playoffs as a wild card team. Just calling it right now.
Time to get this week's Drake's Take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And I ask you, Adam Schefter, because if the Patriots are going to surprise people, just like the Broncos did, Bo Nix was a part of that. How ready do you believe, or do you think the buzz around the NFL believes that Drake May is ready for that year two jump?
No, I think he's ready. I mean, I think that they have a little bit more offensive firepower around him. They're still assembling it. There's still room for improvements, but they did what they could in one off season. There's a new coaching staff. Yeah, listen, I think that Drake May is going to take a jump in his second season. I'd be surprised and disappointed if he didn't. But I think he's poised to make that next jump. And if we look back at that quarterback draft class, it has the makings of being a really, really strong quarterback draft class. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, like, pretty good, pretty good. I'm not going to compare it to 1983, but we're starting to get into territory where I think this is going to be one of the more memorable quarterback draft classes.
One of the players Pats fans can't wait to see Sunday who should be out there on the offensive side of the ball is rookie running back Travion Henderson, who we've been bullish about since even before the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, would it surprise you if he was utilized more heavily than being listed as running back three, and could he be an offensive rookie of the year contender for the Pats?
Yeah, I think all those things are possible. What I would say there is this. I don't care that he's listed as number three. To me, he's going to get, you know, they're going to get him his touches every week, you know, via passes, via runs. You know, somebody like that with his size, you know, I don't think he's going to be a guy that carries the ball 27 times a game. But I do think that you're going to get that guy 13 to 15 touches a game, however they are, whether that's a screen pass, a draw, whatever it may be. But, you know, he's going to touch the ball every week. So that, to me, is what's key. And he's going to get his touches no matter how much they, you know, list him as third string.
So, Adam, I'm not sure if you had a chance to hear Mike Vrabel a couple weeks ago. He kind of called out someone for being a rat. There was some information that leaked that he didn't like. And so he basically used the term rat to kind of just because he was disappointed in that information getting out. And a lot of people thought it was targeted maybe at someone in the front office. And if you look at the draft class from last year, not many guys from last year's draft are still on the team. And a lot of the guys that Elliott Wolf signed to extensions last year are not on the team. What is the reputation of Elliott Wolf around the NFL? Because it feels like Vrabes does not see eye to eye when it comes to how Elliott Wolf assembles a team.
Well, look, he's going to have a chance to work with them and prove himself this year. But I think people believe that Elliott Wolf, he's been a very sound personnel man. He's got a very solid reputation. You know, whether or not he's going to be long term there in that role with Mike Vrabel, again, I think that's what this year is about, working with each other and seeing how well they do or don't get along, how simpatico they are or are not. But like, Elliott's got he's a solid guy. He's been a solid guy for a long time. This is a team that did not have a great draft, obviously, to say the least, in 2024. But I think Elliott's reputation is pretty strong.
Adam Schefter, I know you're a college football guy, Michigan man, but I'm sure your eyes were on UNC on Monday night. What was your reaction to Bill Belichick's debut as a college football coach now and then the way that game played out?
Yeah, I think that it was surprising and disappointing. Like, they started so quickly, and you saw the first drive, and you're like, wow, oh my, this is the Bill effect, and look at this team, and then that was it. The highlight of the game was the first drive. So
that was it.
I mean, it had to be disappointing, mm-hmm. and obviously he's got his detractors out there, so I'm sure some people love that, but it doesn't take away that he's a great coach, and it's going to take some time for him to make his mark down there.
Of course, we love football outside of New England as well. Adam, can you give me the latest on the Micah Parsons situation? What's going on between the Green Bay, Dallas, that injury and everything?
Well, he had an injury that was back injury that was with Dallas. They were treating it with a prescription medication, physical therapy, trying to get him ready. There is a joint sprain in his back. He is trying to play and I think likely to play on Sunday. I mean, look, it would be a surprise if he didn't play. They paid him $188 million. They gave up two first-round draft picks. They traded another player. It's the first home game of the season. It's against the division rival. Do you think he's not going to be out there? I mean, really? Come on. You know, he'll find a way. And if it means taking a pain-killing injection, which he's certainly contemplating right now, then he'll do that. But I expect that he'll be out there on Sunday making his Packers debut against the Detroit Lions.
Adam, we talked to you a lot last year, and we'll get you out on this one. You've talked about stories that you've been involved with, big stories that never came to fruition, big stories that surprised you. Where does this Micah Parsons deal fall on sort of your barometer of big stories over the years and how it unfolded?
Well, I think the best way to look at it is that there have been two players in history who have finished in the top three in defensive player of the year voting in their first 4 years. The two players were Lawrence Taylor and Micah Parsons. It gives you an idea of what Parsons has accomplished through time. And players like that don't often get traded. And they certainly don't get traded from the Dallas Cowboys. The last time the Cowboys made a huge trade dealing away a Pro Bowl caliber player would have been 30-plus years ago when Jerry sent Herschel Walker away. And, yeah, it was unusual, but I got to be honest with you. Like, there are big stories in this league consistently. Maybe not that size. I got it. But, you know, every year there's something else. Every year. And everything at that time is the biggest deal. And Micah was the biggest deal because it deserved to be the big deal. And it was one of the biggest trades that we've seen in the last decade, maybe this century in the NFL. That's fair. But I'm just telling you, this league is incredible at producing drama and storylines and moves like this. So, you know, it doesn't deserve its own category like the Luka Doncic trade.
There's always stories in the NFL, and that's why we love the NFL. That's why we love having you on, Adam. We're looking forward to another season talking news and notes with you all year long. Appreciate you joining us.
Guys, great to be with you. Look forward to the season and enjoy week one.
All right, thanks, Adam.
Happy kickoff.
Thank you.
Adam Schefter, brought to you by New England Chevy Dealers. Together, let's drive. Let's drive into the 4 o'clock hour. Adam Schefter will react to some of that. And we got to get back to some Patriots talk. There's lots of predictions coming out. Records and percent chances to make the playoffs. And optimism is waning in Patriot Nation. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.